X at SAFM Radio and at Ashraf Garda.
So what a big concern, you know, people dying with a building collapsing and people in hospital, people, you know, patients, and then others unaccounted for. Yeah, I think it is a disaster, and I hope there's better news now as I speak to Leon van Wyk, who's the mayor of the George local municipality. So Mayor van Wyk, appreciate your time talking to you really at perhaps the worst possible chance or time we can talk to you, isn't it?
No problem at all. It's great to be on the show with you. We've had some good news in probably the last half hour, where another two people have been extracted from the rubble here, and you know, so that takes us up to 24 people that we've taken out alive. There are six fatalities at this stage, so we are still searching for 45, and it looks like we'll probably be taking out extracting another person shortly. Hopefully in the next half hour that will take place. So I think there's slow progress that is being made, but at the same time there's feverish activity on the site now, trying to remove loose rubble, in other words, bricks and so forth. So a number of conveyor belts have been set up to speed up that process to get them off the site. So there are a number of volunteers also assisting in this whole process.
Well, I'm glad about, I mean, you know, sadly six people have died. I'm glad you've found a few more people who are living, and we pray that number can increase, absolutely. You know, it does beg the question right now, in terms of, you mentioned volunteers, in terms of what are the processes now? So what is being done? And linked to that is, you know, how much time do you have on your side? You know, because the key issue here would be to avoid further fatalities, right?
Yes. Look, you know, it's a race against time in any of these type of disasters. You know, in international norms, they talk about the first 72 hours. Is you know, that's the time in which one needs to undertake the rescues, and so we've now gone past the 24 hours. So you know, we're now close to 30 hours, and you know, so that the work will obviously continue through the night, and then into tomorrow, and just hoping that we are able to extract more people as we go along. But you know, this type of situation is painstaking. You know, we've got a basement, and then there's there was a parking at ground level that was on stilts, and four floors of a construction above that for the flats, the apartments above them. So all of that is condensed down, and so the big difficulty is now are the various floors and those concrete slabs that need to be removed, and they need to be removed very, very carefully so that we don't injure any of the people below that.
Yeah. I mean, key people here are the families. You know, you have the families of those who've passed on.
Sure.
You've got the families of those who are being treated in hospitals, maybe. And then, of course, the families of those who have not been accounted for now.
Yes.
I would take it you've had conversations with them. What can you tell us about their sense of purpose and their feelings right now?
Yes, look, you know, I think all of those families are pretty traumatized. And so there is a team involved with doing counselling and assisting them. And we've also asked the Interface Religious Fraternity to assist in that process. So various counselling rooms and so forth have been made available there to start assisting those family members who naturally will be extremely concerned as these hours progress, and they, you know, they don't get news about their loved one. So, you know, we really feel for them and the difficulties that are being undertaken.
And what type of support, you know, is available to them? And I would think there would be different levels of support for each of these groupings, right?
Yes, Look, that's, you know, they are different levels and, you know, additional support staff and counseling staff have been brought in to assist and to help there and, you know, to try and just make this waiting period for these family members a little bit easier. But, you know, no doubt, I think whatever one tries to do, it's really going to be difficult for them.
Mm.
So, yeah.
You had a press conference earlier today, I understand, right?
Yes.
What are the key factors that came out of it besides the issues of the numbers of, you know, fatalities and recoveries? What else came out of it?
Yes, look, we've tried to explain the process that is underway. And then what has also been questioning has naturally been the, you know, how come, you know, a building like this has collapsed. And what we've explained is the process that needs to be gone through in terms of the investigation that would need to take place. So that is being done by Department of Labor, and SAPS are also investigating it. But what the provincial government has also appointed a consulting engineering firm to undertake an independent investigation. And then we also understand that the Engineering Council of South Africa has also launched their own investigation, you know, so that we can get to a clear understanding of what went wrong, because one certainly wants to prevent any similar incident taking place.
Absolutely. Lots of conversation about how the building went up in the first place and who were the builders or the agents involved in that. And I understand that there was some vagueness about revealing too much. I mean, tell me what happened and why.
Look, the roles of the municipality is that the plans get approved or they get submitted and they get approved. So that was done between December 22 and July 23, when the plans were then approved. And what happens then in a construction site such as this, where you've got a multi-story development, that construction team would then need to have the various engineering and professional persons certainly monitoring and managing that whole process. So that would range from architects through to quantity surveyors through to structural engineers and mechanical engineers and so forth that would need to document and make sure that at each stage of that construction process, the rules are being followed. So those are the matters that are probably at issue now.
Mm-hmm. Is the contractor being investigated for shoddy service? Is that being one of the issues to be concerned about?
Well, look, you know, I think all of that will now come out of the investigation that takes place, because in the work that gets done, there are engineers that would need to sign off and say, look, okay, you know, make checks to make sure, take samples and do analysis at various points in terms of the work that gets done on concrete and so forth in that whole site, on the foundations, on the pillars that get done, and on the various floors that that are being erected.
Mm. Can you tell us who the contractors are now? I know it was not said earlier on. Can you tell us now?
Yes, look, it's Neotrends Group is the developer that has undertaken this work, and so you know they have been used as we understand it. It's almost a sister company that has being involved in the construction.
Working under them. Finally, is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
No, I think that's probably the update at this stage. I think it is a feverish activity that is taking place. And I think what we are seeing and witnessing today is probably certainly world-class activity in the search and rescue that has been undertaken here. And, I think we can be really proud of the team that is working on this exercise. There are 111 rescue personnel that are involved in this whole process.
Which is an impressive number. Let's leave it at that. Mayor Leon van Wyk of the George local municipality, I think there you're spot on. We need champions of in the rescue space, and that is admirable about something that we can do in this country.